What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. It's Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz, my co-host. He covers the team for The Athletic as well. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, working together with you in step. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. What's going on, Drantz?
Not much, buddy. Big win for the Edmonton Oilers last night.
Sure was.
I thought they looked like, going into that first intermission, I was like, man, the Dallas Stars have been the better team now across four periods. This series feels like it's about to tilt one way or the other. And then the Edmonton Oilers absolutely took over, especially in the third period. Really gutsy showing from them. So, yeah, we're really close now to the rematch.
On the edge of the rematch now, just one game either way here.
What odds do you think you could have got on Carolina outlasts Dallas?
Ooh.
48 hours ago.
Pretty good, I would think. Like very good.
Seems like...
And we'll see. It still might not happen.
Of course.
But, yeah.
I mean, it could end tonight, but I'm just saying it feels conceivable. In a way that I would have, like, laughed at you about, you know, even 72 hours ago.
Yeah. Now, the other note, of course, from the win last night, and by the way, we'll do the crossover coming up here in a few minutes, and Jason Buchla will join us at 1 o'clock. Of course, the other note from last night, which was confirmed this morning, Oilers lose Zach Hyman for the rest of the playoffs. I believe a wrist injury that he's having surgery for. So
brutal.
When you're going, look, Zach Hyman's a really good player, of course. We all know it also starts with so much of it is about McDavid and Draisaitl, but when you're staring down a rematch with the Florida Panthers and the level they're able to hit, every little bit helps, and that's a big, big loss for the Oilers going into that series.
Yeah, and he's a dog. I mean, he's a significant playoff-type performer who can win battles in dirty areas and does a lot of what the Oilers do well, which is like digging loose pucks in the blue paint. You know, like that you can't. You basically have to freeze every shot from the perimeter that the Oilers take because between Perry, Kane, Hyman, Draisaitl, like there's just so many big bodies coming who can also make skilled plays while protecting the puck down low, and Hyman's a big part of that. Now, I will say that this Oilers team is pretty damn deep. I mean, when was the last time Jeff Skinner played?
Yeah.
You know, and look, I know Jeff Skinner's not Zach Hyman. No one's confusing Jeff Skinner with Zach Hyman, but we're still talking about a guy who had, you know, 30 points without really sniffing power play one, right? They still have some other big-bodied guys, guys like Vasily Podkolzin. You've certainly liked what Kasperi Kapanen has given them, right? They're not going to be hard-pressed, I don't think, here in terms of having additional bodies to throw in the lineup. They just don't have a guy, or at least another guy with the level of like dog skill and the stamina to actually skate with Draisaitl and McDavid when you have to put them together that Zach Hyman does. So significant loss, but this team is deep enough to withstand this sort of hit at this stage of the playoffs.
Yeah, again, it's just about one of those edges going up against Florida. But on the other hand, Stuart Skinner continues to string together some impressive performances here for the Edmonton Oilers. And one of their biggest weaknesses, of course, has been what the heck are you going to get from Stuart Skinner on a nightly basis? And I know we've heard from Kevin Woodley that, look, a lot of this is more about the environment in front of him and what Edmonton's doing. And when Edmonton takes care of it defensively, then Stuart Skinner's able to be really, really solid. But that is a huge wild card potentially for the Oilers going into, again, it's not over yet, both series 3-1, but we're all starting to look ahead to the Stanley Cup rematch now.
Yeah, the Stuart Skinner thing, I mean, Skinner and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins have been their best players in the series, and if you're getting beat by Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Stuart Skinner, you know, like if it's not McDavid having to go to that next, like, Captain Marvel level, you know, where it's like, oh, he's overpowered. Then you're really cooked against this Edmonton team.
All right, it is time for the crossover with Don Taylor and Rick Dollywall. They're the co-hosts of Donnie and Dolly, which you can watch on Check TV Monday to Friday, 10 to noon. They join us here every Wednesday for the crossover. What's going on, fellas?
Oh, lots of Canuck talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usual.
Us too.
Yeah.
What a coincidence. That's what we're doing also.
Rick was talking
Yeah,
go
ahead.
About Manny Malhotra going to Pittsburgh.
Stop it, Don. Stop it.
Well, I also noticed
Manny's doing a great job in Abbotsford.
You know, classic negative media over on Czech TV. Your guys' poll question today. You're already running Thatcher Demko out of town. You're saying the Canucks should trade Thatcher Demko. What's going on?
He's not.
No, it's not us. It's apparently he's on a trade board. And everybody thinks, you know, once you get put on a trade board, the Canucks, you know, in management, they go, oh, look at this. Thatcher's on a trade board. So we're going to trade Thatcher Demko. Apparently, that's how it works.
You're talking about Frank Saravelli's piece, Daily Faceoff. He appears on 650.
Yes.
And I understand this, you know, this talk. You don't. Rick doesn't. But where I go with this is that they've talked, Jim Rutherford has talked extensively, at least on two occasions, they're going to make trades to get, two or three top six forwards. Well, they got to trade something of value. Demko, injuries aside, if you can say that, pretty valuable guy. So you thought I was crazy for bringing
that up. No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying this, that I am not hearing the first choice by the Canucks is to trade Demko, despite, you know, him being on a trade board. The Canucks need to find out what Demko's going to ask for on a new contract. I expect that to take place, obviously, before the NHL draft. If Demko wants too much term and money, then you got to move him. But from what I'm told, Demko loves playing in Vancouver, and he wants to win here, and he doesn't want to leave. Now, if the player and the team want to get a deal done, should they might find common ground. We don't know that. There is a risk, and the risk is his injuries. The other risk is, you know, he might return to his old Vezina form. But I'm also told there's no health issues right now for Demko. There's no setbacks. Like, he's going to have a normal summer of training, something he didn't have last year. He couldn't hit the ice for a long, extended period of time. I think we're jumping the gun on Demko trade talk. I think you got to let them first talk contract and then let it organically go from there. But just to push a trade to the front of the line for Demko without talking contract it makes no sense at all.
Okay, Rick, let me ask you a question. Did the Canucks sign another goaltender to a 5-year deal in the last 6 months? Do the Canucks
talked about this.
Do the Canucks have a third goaltender under contract for next year on a one-way, fully guaranteed NHL salary who has been their single star performer as they've run to the Western Conference Final in the American League?
Yeah.
How many goalies do you have on your roster at any given time?
Yeah.
So is it not reasonable then to wonder about Demko's future? Like, I don't know. Like, seems like a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Yeah. But is it not reasonable to ask him what he wants on an extension when you can sign him on July 1st?
They're going to do that. I mean,
okay,
without
question. Well, then what are you talking about, Thomas?
I think it's reasonable.
You just said they are going to.
Well, we're forecasting,
prognosticating.
Why wouldn't you talk about it?
Would it not be reasonable to ask him what he wants on a new deal when you can sign him July 1st?
But
July
it would also 1st? Be reasonable to talk about the possibility of trading him.
Yeah, okay, if they intend to, then what's your problem with it, Thomas?
The point
That's what I'm saying.
But we're prognosticating. We're forecasting, right? Like, this is, you know, we're like trade weather girls. You know what I mean? We're up at the board and we're like, hey, look, like there's a low pressure system coming in here.
Yep.
Yeah, weathermen. You know, there's a low pressure.
Meteorologist.
Yeah. There's a high pressure system coming in here, a Lankinen extension that's already done. Then there's a young player coming up here and there's a chance of rain. Like, yeah, they should be talking extension with Demko, because if you can share the risk with his camp and get a team-friendly deal done, we know what upside Demko has if he's healthy. He's one of the best goaltenders in the world. But also, shouldn't you be gauging the market? Like, given this team's emergency-level needs up front, can you really afford to go into next season with, like, Lankinen at 4-5, Demko on an extension, and then Seelovs, a very attractive waiver candidate that you'll probably lose, assuming he doesn't, you know, break camp with the team? Seems to me like, as you sort of go through what your options are, talking to his camp and figuring out what the next deal looks like, but also talking to other teams and seeing what sort of market there is, both options make sense to me. Like, will you be surprised, Rick, if we are sitting here for our last show of the year on whatever, July 4th, and Demko has been dealt? Will that shock you? Will your jaw hit the floor?
after they find out what he wants in a contract extension. And if he wants 7 to 8 years at $7 or $8 million, then it's not going to happen in Vancouver.
Right.
But how can you move the guy without finding out what he wants on an extension?
Answer the question. I'm speaking for Rick here. I won't be surprised at all. Yeah. They've gone on record as saying they want to make trades. And Demko's, again, I'm repeating myself. Your injuries aside, he's a pretty valuable guy. You don't know about his future. Absolutely.
Because the other part of this, sorry, right, is it's not just the Canucks necessarily picking up the phone and trying to shop Thatcher Demko. It's other teams might be interested, yeah, right? And if I can see a couple of different types of teams being interested, one is contenders that need an upgrade in goal. And if you're not too worried about the future, you just think, hey, we can get this guy at $5 million. We'll manage his workload in the regular season, and then he'll be good to go in the playoffs, and we'll figure out an extension after that. But we just want the 1 year of an elite goalie. I can see teams like that being interested. Or, and I know Frank brought up Philadelphia, you know, perpetually desperate for a goalie, yeah, are the Flyers, and maybe they have more of an appetite to go long-term with Demko to make that bet on his health. So, I mean, if there's a team that calls and is like, yeah, we love this guy, we want to extend him for 6 years, and you're not willing to do that, and they're willing to offer you something for it, again, you have to at least be willing to consider it in the situation they're in.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing is, when you talk about Demko and the Vezina, and I think this happened with our show today, and a couple of people called us on, he didn't win. He was a finalist. I get that, but it was very impressive. But not only did he not win, I'm not knocking him. I realize everybody in the world has health problems, especially athletes, even younger in life. I get all that. But he was a Vezina finalist. The same year, he was only able to play one game in the playoffs because of injury. So it was a very, very good season, but it stopped short of being great because of what happened in the playoffs when that old injury bug that's bothered him for a long time reared its ugly head. I know I'm mixing metaphors here, but and then again, you had the injuries again this past season.
Absolutely.
You can't fall in love with them.
No, you can't fall in love with anyone in a season where you didn't make the playoffs, but I fully expect the Canucks to go to Demko's camp in the near future and say, hey, what are you guys thinking about on an extension? And if he says a ludicrous number, like you saw this year, goalie signed for $7.2 million, $8.2 million. If he says something like that, I fully expect them to move him. But if they can get him at 3 years and somewhere under seven, maybe 6.5, maybe you try and do that, then maybe they don't move him. But you don't move this guy until you find out what he wants on a new extension. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I just think it's worth at least looking at it as something that if the run out goes a certain way over the next 7 weeks, we could be having that conversation. I think we're at that point. With my understanding, though, Rick, is I do think that both sides are pretty open to doing an extension, I think, from the Canucks side, provided that there's shared risk. And on Demko's side, I mean, it makes sense given the injuries that he's dealt with, frankly, you know, to lock in some security. What are you sort of hearing about Demko's posture, as it were, in terms of why they'd want to rush to get a deal now as opposed to using this contract year as sort of a springboard platform to remind the league that he's one of the best at stopping pucks in the world?
I think the guy, you know, all this talk in town that Quinn Hughes is going to bolt in 2 years. I just hear that Demko likes Vancouver and would like to sign an extension. And if you can find common ground when two sides want to do it, you do it. You know, and I do hear that he is healthy right now. If you take the clock back 12 months ago, and then you go to the NHL draft, and the Canucks are calling Casey DeSmith's agent. They called Casey DeSmith's agent at the draft for a reason, because Demko never touched the ice after his second injury. And they were like, not freaking out, but they were like, what's going on here? You know, and then goalie agents were calling the Canucks in early July and saying, hey, our guy's available. So that's not going to happen this year because he's healthy. Everything I've been told, he should have a normal offseason. I just think if both sides can find common ground, I think there's a deal to be made.
But Thomas makes the point about next year. Like, he doesn't have to sign a deal.
No, he doesn't.
Right away.
Yeah,
he doesn't. He can wait. And he's got something to prove. Can he stay healthy for a season?
Absolutely.
Can you imagine if he has the same playoffs aside in the Nashville series, if he has the same type of season he had a couple of seasons ago, and what the numbers he
Jeremy
could command
Swayman,
at
baby.
That point.
That's Jeremy Swayman money.
Yeah, that's a very good possibility. I think that's what you're getting at, Thomas. Well, like, why does it have to be now? Because he does have something to prove.
And just the dynamics. Like, absolutely. The fundamental business decision-making dynamics are often more important to focus on than whether or not a guy likes it, whether or not a guy wants to stay, just like how players manage risk, what their appetite is for risk. Mm. These careers are short. You know what I mean? It's vital to protect your own business interests, just as any of us would do with our family's finances or our professional decisions. And, you know, I think it's a fascinating one with Demko, with a wide range of outcomes here. Like, if you told me that Demko entered next summer and was one of the five highest paid goaltenders in hockey, I'd say I can see that. You know what I mean? And if you were to tell me that Demko was on a 1-year rebuild his value deal, I could see that. You know, I'd imagine is probably the impetus for a player's openness to do a deal, and something that I think is a thorny set of, like, it presents a thorny set of decisions in my mind for Rutherford, for Demko, for Patrick Alvin, for Jordan Newman is a representative. I mean, it's a really complicated set of factors presumably underpinning this, right?
And Seelovs is at play here too, guys, and I'll tell you why. How can you make a decision on Seelovs without knowing if Thatcher's going to be here long term or not?
Yeah, good point.
And you know, Seelovs is having a great American Hockey League season in the playoffs. He did this to us last year. He took the Canucks and helped them to Game 7 of Edmonton. Everybody
did
guaranteed
you say
him
us?
A spot.
You said us again.
Now just stop. Everybody
as analysts,
in the city,
the market.
Ready
I got
to
it.
Give Seelovs.
Yeah.
The market,
all right.
Everybody in the city was ready to give Seelovs because he took the Canucks to Game 7 against Edmonton. What happened? First game against Calgary, Canucks up 4-1. They blow that game, and he never recovered from that opening game. But before you decide Seelovs' future, you got to know about Demko's future contractually. And that's what I expect them to do in the next coming weeks is find out.
I wouldn't worry about Seelovs, though.
Donnie, why?
We spent most of his career in the American Hockey League.
He's only 24,
I
though.
I think Demko's
he is 24. He's not getting younger.
And you know, it's not very common, frankly, that we see like goaltenders be 40, 50 game NHL goaltenders before the age of like 25, 26.
But I think Rick makes a great point about the highs and lows of Seelovs. That's one of the big questions of this Calder Cup playoffs run to me. It's great for us on the outside and fans to look at it,
Donnie,
and say, us on the outside.
Yeah, there you go.
To look at it from the outside and say, wow, Seelovs is having this great run. But what do the Canucks think? Because, you know, I think coaches and management, when they lose trust in a goalie, it's hard to get it back, right? Like coaches, once they don't like the guy, once they don't trust the guy, it's really hard for that goalie to get back in the crease on a permanent basis. Now, the Canucks have a new coach. Yeah, he was here. But I would be fascinated to know how much has this changed the opinion of Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin on Artur Seelovs. Has it changed the opinion at all? Or do they still view him as just too risky to use as a full-time NHL goalie?
Yeah, it's so interesting because two pretty good playoff runs for Artur Seelovs. One at the NHL level, and which was interesting. And then, you know, also interesting, they went out of their way to sign, but they end up signing Lankin in the offseason, which surprised some people. But let's keep it in perspective. It is the American. I don't want to knock anybody.
Yep.
I want to get to that level, and you have to be a supreme athlete to be in the American Hockey League. You do, no matter what anybody says. But it is the American Hockey League versus the NHL. And you see people excel there, and they can't do anything at the NHL level. Now, that's disrespectful because he did something at the NHL level and then dropped.
And then dropped in
a big, big way. I know that a lot of people might think his future is bright. Maybe it ends up being with another organization, but I just don't know about him.
I just think he's a big game goalie.
It's a great unknown right now.
I just think he's a big game goalie. Like he killed.
Guess what it is?
Because it's not just Calder Cup this year, Stanley Cup playoffs the year before at the age of 23. And remember
World Hockey.
World, that's what I'm saying. And then the World Championships. He was like a Latvian hero. at the age of 22, was like the best goaltender at the tournament. It's like he's an exceptional tournament goalie. What about that? Maybe he's just a sick tournament goalie.
But you got to get to the big games.
For sure.
It was, you know, when you look at the regular season, it was Demko. It's a really weird situation.
I'm also into that, right? Like at the end of the day, winning the Stanley Cup just is winning a tournament.
Keep him in the AHL and then call him up for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
He's a 20-game season backup.
Hey, not bad. And yeah, fresh.
A new role we've discovered in the NHL.
Saying, there's a lot of backups in the league, and there's not a lot of backups in the league who, if you had to turn to them in a bad spot, you know what I mean? You'd be like, this guy's a big game goalie, though.
Yeah.
and you could, I would genuinely, like, if we were doing a show and it was game 7 of the Stanley Cup final and the Canucks starter was hurt and it's the biggest sports story any of us have covered in 30 years, I would be coming on the radio and I'd be like, remember the Worlds? Remember the Stanley Cup playoffs? Remember the Calder Cup playoffs? This is a big game goalie. Like, that would be my take. So, I mean, there's something there. It's not nothing there.
I don't know what you do with it, but there is something there. I have no idea how you handle it, though, but there is something there.
It's a Letterman. Is it something? Is it nothing? Yeah, like,
something.
It's something. It's what it is, clearly something. Yeah.
Quickly here, another player in, you know, not as key to the Canucks historically, but a good player all the same who's in a similar position, extension eligible on July 1st, is Connor Garland. And I wonder about that, and I'm not trying to start the they're going to trade Connor Garland thing here, but as you said, Rick, like they're going to talk.
Rick's going to lose his mind.
No.
Just because he's on a trade board,
they're going to talk to Thatcher Demko, right? They're going to figure it out.
He isn't on a trade board though yet.
You got to think they're going to go through a similar process with Connor Garland. I'm just curious, Rick. Have you heard anything about that process? About the likelihood of maybe an extension with Connor Garland in Vancouver?
Would not shock me if they get to Garland in June to feel him out. And you could sign him to. I will say this about Connor Garland. He has put himself in a position to get a nice raise. I don't see that guy being flat in terms of pay. I don't see him going backwards. I see what that guy and you know, we had the privilege of talking to Garland at the Worlds. And, you know, he had a great tournament. 5 points. Five goals, 5 assists, 10 points. Mm. He really, really, really had a good World Hockey Championships. But that guy has set himself up nicely to have a next contract that is going to be very, very nice for him.
Did you get the sense when you guys asked him directly about his next contract, Rick? Did you get and he was also asked about it at locker room cleanout day. I felt like both times pretty non-committal. I would suggest. Like
I didn't get that.
You didn't get that sense?
Don't get that feeling.
Okay.
He told us and Donald.
He loved it. He loved going for walks.
Walks
in
on
Vancouver.
The seawall.
He likes going for walks in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I never got that. All he said, and people took it the wrong way, is my agent will deal with it. And that's protocol, right? Just my agent will deal. He's not going to do the contract. His agent is. And he's got one hell of an agent who also represents some of the biggest names in the National Hockey League, Judd Moldover. And, you know, this guy, you know, he's one of the top agents. Stop it, Don. But this guy's one of the top agents out there. And I fully expect him to do his job on Garland's next deal. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I just, you know what, and he's one of these players, and maybe a bit contradictory for me, but I just, and again, there's a part of me, and I know, Thomas, you feel the same way. You want to move on. You want to rebuild. I just love watching that guy play.
Yeah, he rocks.
I just one of my favorite types of players in the National Hockey League are guys who wake up a building, and he could do that.
Mm-hmm.
The small guy, you know, wears his heart in his sleeve, gets under the skin of the opposition, you know, provides offense. There's just so much there. I'd have a harder time letting him go than Thatcher Demko, honestly.
How many nights were there this year where the only two guys who looked like they were really putting in max effort were Connor Garland and Quinn Hughes, right? There were a lot where it's like, hey, Connor Garland is noticeable.
Countless.
But you didn't see a lot of other guys doing it, so it's tough to lose that.
Yeah, and I wish some of the higher-paid Canucks showed the passion and enthusiasm that Garland does every night. You know, and he goes to the dirty areas. He's got no fear. You know, he's great on the forecheck. How many times do we see him lift the stick of another player, take the puck away? You know,
get that the other day at the Worlds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I wish some of the higher-paid guys, you know, would play with that passion that Garland's got.
No, I was agreeing. Yeah, just
like, I the wish big someone, sigh of agreement.
I was just like, oh,
yeah,
God.
That would be nice. Boy, that'd be nice. All right, the other thing.
Gee, I wonder who we're talking about.
I have no idea. No idea who we're talking about. We're not going to bring them up.
It's a long list.
The other thing I wanted to mention here before we let you guys go is we're starting to see movement now, not just with head coaching jobs, but assistant coaching jobs around the league. Mike Vellucci, I believe, going to Chicago. Brad Shaw in New Jersey. We were kind of under the understanding, I know you reported, Drance, part of the reason the Canucks wanted to go and do Adam Foote quickly was to get a head start on filling out the rest of the staff, have their pick. Are we going to see some movement here in the next few days, next week? Are we going to start to get more of a sense of who's going to be joining Foote behind the Canucks bench next year?
Rick, you've been reporting
I've heard Bob Bugner's name. It wouldn't surprise me. Those two guys played together.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, in Sault Ste. Marie back in the 80s.
And he's got head coaching experience.
I think he played 1 year in Colorado.
Yeah, they were.
Big time.
They were Avs teammates for sure.
Avs teammates, and they played together in the Sioux back in the 1980s. There's a good relationship there. I would not be surprised if he's on the list. And Luke Richardson, I think, is still trying to get a head coaching job. And if he doesn't, I wouldn't be surprised if Luke Richardson's name pops up in Vancouver as well.
All right.
Going to be critical. I think you need some experience. You need someone with head coaching experience on that staff.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That would make a lot of sense. Look, we found something we all agreed on.
We agreed on lots.
We did.
We agreed on Connor Garland.
I think we made some really good progress on the Demko discussion. I think we found common ground there. So good for us.
No, we didn't, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing if we didn't make progress.
That means we'll find we'll find a new player to put in trade rumors next week. All right, go. Fine. That's
my parking. Thanks, guys. If I get a parking ticket, you guys are paying for it. Bye.
Good luck with that. That's Rick Dhaliwal and Don Taylor. You can watch them Monday to Friday, 10 to noon on Check TV on Donnie and Dolly, and they join us every Wednesday here for the crossover. I do think, and this is probably a bad sign, that we've gotten good at like navigating Rick through what we're trying to say. You know what I mean? like he gets offended that we bring something up, and then we walk him through the process of why we brought it up, and then he's like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
I think the weather person analogy really brought it home.
Really landed with him. He's like, oh, I get that.
I love the weather. Not as much as Jamie Dodd checking the 7-day forecast.
I got to see
on an hourly basis.
I got to see what next Monday's weather is going to be. If it's changed,
what's it going to be?
Earlier today, I think it's going to be sunny and nice.
Thanks.
Off the top of my head,
weatherman Jamie, weatherman Dodd.
Off the top of my head, super nice today. It's going to rain tonight.
Oh, really?
Nice tomorrow. Rain on Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be nice in the mountains where I'm going.
Yeah, and then I'm a little fuzzy on it after that. But there you go. There's your weather report, your weather update.
Thank you.
That's like scarily accurate.
You check the 7-day?
I check it a lot for some reason. I don't know why. I just really like to stay up to date.
I do the same thing.
I think it's because you're a dad, buddy.
Maybe.
Honestly, I think the moment you become a dad, it's you like
just always good to know what's going on.
Yeah,
always
like,
good to be prepared.
It's like there's a few things that are required. Like you immediately wear 40% more plaid. You cannot possibly make it all the way through a weeknight movie.
Sure.
And you always know what the weather is.
I do watch movies in stages.
I know.
Half on a Wednesday, half on a Thursday, sure.
Every dad. No, I've never seen a dad make it through a single movie on a weeknight. Not once in my life.
Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV Discovery and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV. At Rogers.com. Open segment next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.